This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You've reached another Joy 94.9 podcast.
The hottest event on the LGBTIQ calendar is the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras.
And this way it is through Joy.
Thanks to our Joy sponsors, Virgin Australia, who'll fly you there, Airbnb, who'll put you up for your stay, and GoGet, who'll drive you around in style.
Then have the time of your life celebrating the Mardi Gras Parade with a view money can't buy at the Joy 94.9 VIP broadcast.
An unforgettable experience you don't want to miss.
For a chance to win, donate $5 to Joy via joy.org.au.
Enter as many times as you like. There's no limits.
The more times you donate $5, the more chances you have to win.
But do it before Feb 17.
T's and C's apply. See joy.org.au.
The joy of summer.
The joy of Mardi Gras.
Joy 94.9.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine every Saturday 10 till 12.
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. Tom and Tass are just coming back into the studio. They actually forgot we're on radio, you know.
Oh, people have got to know there are deadlines.
They do. Tom wants to say good morning.
Hello, good Michael. Morning, Tom. It's Tom here. How are you going?
Good, mate. How are you?
I'm not bad.
Good.
Very, very disappointed you couldn't come in person.
Well, that's because I'm at a school event for one of my children. So I have had the pleasure of being there, but sometimes kids come first, as you know. And one of my boys is playing tennis today. Not very well, I might add. But anyway, that's another story.
Now, that's good. Glad you could make the time. I wanted to hit off first, Michael. We, Tom and I and Tass, we spoke earlier about the Prime Minister's, I called it a bit of a spray in the Parliament. I thought, it's interesting theatre, and it is theatre. Yeah. Obviously, the backbenchers did Barnaby Joyce. I thought he was going to choke on a fur ball. But what do you think the punters think about this, Michael? I mean, okay, we're all a bit partisan on this, but what do you think the punters think? You know, no matter which side does it, do you think they're really interested in it?
I do. I do think so, because politics these days more and more is about messaging. The public are busy, they don't have time, they don't read Hansard, they don't read speeches, they watch little television, they get glimpses of news, which is one of the reasons Trump was successful, that he was able to distill very, very complex messages into a few words: drain the swamp, build a wall, bring the jobs home, etc. Now, whether you like Trump or not, if you said to people, what did Trump stand for, most people could name those phrases. If you said to people, what were Hillary's policies, most people will give you a blank stare. They can't name a specific policy. They can name one or two, maybe, but generally speaking, the theme of her policy, of her campaign, was, well, really continuation of Obama. So if you wind that back to answer your question, Malcolm is accused over the years of being an intellectual, of being verbose, of wanting to win every point on an intellectual basis, which he does because that's what he's like. And on the other day in Parliament, he distilled his messages down into something more retail.
Michael, I mean, I listened to it live, and we talked about it extensively on Talkback Radio the next day or so. I describe Malcolm Turnbull as being like a lot of university lecturers I used to have. It'd sort of sit out the front and, you know, impart their knowledge for you to listen. And you go, oh, God, all right. And what people, I believe, liked about him having a crack at Bill Shorten was you just heard some emotion, you heard a real person there. Can I ask you, though, do you think he was just genuinely sick of being, you know, targeted personally by Bill Shorten, being called Mr. Harbourside Mansion, and he'd had enough? Or did they sit down the night before and say, you know what, we're down in the opinion polls, we've got to change tack here, we've got to do something different? Which was it?
I actually think it was a build-up, Tom. It's a very good question, but I think it's a build-up over a number of months. There are a lot of people inside the Liberal Party, and I'm one of them, who, not that I had anything to do with during the week. That was brilliant work by Malcolm and some people around him. But many people, Tom, as you would know, have been concerned that the Federal Party doesn't seem to get its message across. And they have tended to be long-winded. The election campaign was a poor slogan, a long-winded six-point platform, and Labor's whole campaign can be described in one word. And we know what that word was: Medicare. So, Tom, it's the result of 6 months or more of people saying, you know, Malcolm gets attacked every day, the government gets attacked every day, they don't seem to be able to respond in terms the electorate understands. And for the first time, I think, you know, the other part of the answer is yes. I think Malcolm Turnbull probably thought, well, you know, why do I keep having all this stuff thrown at me every single day by a bloke who is essentially an absolute hypocrite, a bloke who's never had a real job in his life, who's always sort of been on the payroll of a union or the government or, you know, someone. I'm not going to take this anymore. And he basically called him out, and good on him, and it was spectacular. Now, you see a lot of the press today saying, oh, well, it wasn't particularly policy-based and all that. Well, you know, it was one question time. I think you'll see more and more of this. I certainly hope you do, because it showed that on his day, Turnbull is actually a very, very effective communicator and a brilliant communicator, and I thought he was fantastic.
I want to say, Michael, there's a bit of trouble at Mill, though. Corey Bernardi, which actually we're now renamed Mardi Gras Bernardi Gras, because we think he needs some more publicity. But, I mean, he's... You know, he's spat the dummy, taken his bat home. A peculiarly, you know, South Australian Liberal Party. I don't need to tell you how strange they are. But, you know, he's bailed. George Christensen, makes all sorts of threatening noises.
Mm.
Mate, you got some problems. I mean, okay, the other side have equal issues. But, you know, this is why I think, you know, you're gonna struggle to keep them all in the tent. How are you going to do that?
Mm. Mm. Well, that's all a question of the strength of leadership. You know, a great leader can keep the team together, which is what John Howard did, and Tom well remembers this. The difference between Howard Mark 1 and Howard Mark 2 was that Howard Mark 2 recognised that the broad church of the Liberal Party's got to represent all views, and that's what John Howard did. Malcolm Turnbull brought Michael Suka into the ministry, and Michael's identified with the sort of centre-right of the party. Suka's a brilliant guy. He brought him into the ministry, which pleased a lot of people on the Conservative side. Corey's never been happy, let's be frank.
No.
Corey's never been happy, okay? He was unhappy with Abbott. He was unhappy with Turnbull. Corey's just generally been unhappy, and a lot of unhappiness, and this will shock you. When people get overlooked for positions, they tend to think that it's everyone else's fault but their own. And Corey's been like a bear, you know, getting out of bed grumpy every morning for a long time now. And I read Gerard Henderson's piece in The Australian this morning, which I suggest people read. And Henderson basically says, you know, his resignation speech wasn't a particularly glittering piece of work.
No.
From an intellectual or policy point of view.
Michael, just the numbers in the Senate. I mean, obviously the Liberals struggle, or the government struggles to get anything through the Senate at the moment. You've now got one more independent senator and one fewer government senator, being Bernardi, becoming separate. Now, he said to me, I'll probably support the government, but the fact is he'll want a horse trade. I mean, does this just make the difficulty of getting legislation through even worse?
Tom, it can't help it, obviously, because there's one firm vote, now it's gone to one firm to loose vote. So the answer is yeah. But, you know, you'd expect Bernardi to support us 90% of the time. I might say, whilst we're all very critical of Corey for leaving, I do think he did the right thing last night at the Q Society when he separated himself and condemned the remarks that were made the previous night by Larry Pickering, which were really absurd remarks. We love free speech, we love... You know, we recognise the Q Society, anyone's got a right to hold these functions and free from sort of, you know, fascist demonstrations. But Bernardi did the right thing last night, so I have to acknowledge that whilst being very critical of him for leaving the party.
Yeah. We have run out of time, Michael, unfortunately. Next time we'll have you for a bit longer.
I'll be there.
If we can.
I'll be there.
In the studio.
In the studio. I'll be there.
Fantastic, fantastic. Once again, thanks for your time. I know you've got a busy Saturday.
And good luck with the tennis match.
Yeah, good luck with the tennis.
Thank you. Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Michael. Bye.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.